Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey friends, welcome to the Christmas episode, even though it's dropping on Christmas Eve, but it is the week of Christmas. This is episode 214 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, and in the studio, if you will, Chad Smart, who is the host of Positive Cynicism right here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. And Chad is in town from parts unknown for a few days, and we thought we'd bang out a few podcasts here and over at Positive Cynicism, part of the, again, Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. And Chad, we're doing a we're doing this episode 214 as a wrestling under the influence. We have a Christmas inspired beer, and we're going to talk about some Christmas memories, wrestling related. And of course, I feel like when we do any kind of memory show, we use the internet to help enhance our memories.
Well, yes, because we are both old and don't remember a whole lot. And especially after looking at the beer that you have chosen for this episode, I think we will even have less to remember, or remember less, by the time the show is over.
That is true. We are going to be drinking Dark Horse 4 Elf Winter Warm Ale.
Say that five times fast.
Yeah. So the company is Dark Horse Brewing Company out of Marshall, Michigan. And again, this is called 4 Elf Winter Warmer Ale. And when I pick up – and I'm guessing it's called 4 Elf because it came in a four-pack, but I don't know if that's usually the case. I could be wrong. But this brewery was established in 1997. We'd like to give a little bit of background about it. I found this beer at a local here in Southern Illinois, a local liquor store called Pinch Penny Pub, Pinch Penny Liquors, and I don't even remember what I paid for it, but because we usually try to break down the pricing and all that good stuff. But this came in a four pack, and the alcohol, the ABV is 8.75%. So we're gonna have some fun with this. So Chad, I'm gonna go ahead and pop these open and. I don't know if you want to pour yours into a glass to take a look at it before you drink it. You're not as connoisseur-y, I think, with your beer as...
No, I will drink straight from the bottle.
Oh, listen to this guy. He's being a real man, a man's man. So, Chad, we did a – and actually this show will drop the day before your Christmas episode of Positive Cynicism. But what's going on over at Positive Cynicism these days?
Well, the month of December has been the nostalgia month because I think – when you get to the end of the year, and especially with the holidays, you become a little nostalgic. Mm-hmm. You think back, and we've discussed Christmas movies that aren't Christmas movies, nostalgia of – I can't even – see, I'm not even drinking yet.
You haven't even had a sip, and you're already forgetting your own show.
Yes, and then you and I recorded a crossover episode of looking back at wrestling, trying to figure out how we became fans, why we're still fans. And I think it turned into mostly a Becky Lynch appreciative admiration society episode. But I was going to say, is this – I'm guessing this Dark Horse Brewery does not have anything to do with the Dark Horse comic book company.
That would be a good question. I'm guessing not, but I have no idea. They have on the box here or on the package just a couple of pictures of them brewing and doing their thing. What do you know about Dark Horse Comic Company? We'll throw Nerds United in here too, another Jittery Monkey joint.
I know there's a comic book company called Dark Horse, and they make comic books.
Mm. Cool story, bro. This is like the Pritchard Show, you know?
Yeah.
You start to tell a story, and then you flake out on me. We'll throw it in our Google machines here and see if we can figure it out.
This is exciting podcasting.
Well, you're throwing a curveball to me here. Dark Horse Comics, right?
Yes.
All right.
By the way, maybe we should start up a Patreon and we could like record this, and then people could pay us a dollar or two to watch
behind us, the scenes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you would need to move here. You need to move here from parts unknown, and then you could be on every episode. And I know that that's something that you would really look forward to doing.
Of course. And I think, I mean, we are in your, I guess you called it your recording studio. I call it the room that I crash in when I stay at your place. And I'm just going to say that before I move in here in a couple months, when I'm out of a job, I want some heat in this place.
You know, I need to fix the thermostat thing, and we'll take care of that. The battery in it is dead, and we can't tell what it's set at. We'll hook you up, I promise. He's the Fonzie to our Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham living over our garage. So anyway, I do not see an association between Dark Horse Comics and Dark Horse Brewing. But Dark Horse Brewing, as we mentioned, is based out of Michigan. It is a locally family-owned craft brewing company. They have a tap room and a beer garden. I don't know where Marshall, Michigan is. I've only been to Michigan once.
On the bottom of their packaging, they do have, if you flip it over, they do have the hand, which anybody from Michigan likes to point out on their hand where they're from.
I've never known that. Okay.
Well, see, if you watched wrestling, there's a team that used to be around called the Motor City Machine Guns. It was Alex Shelley.
They were in TNA, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And they would always point to their hand to where Detroit is from.
I didn't know that. Michigan, though, it's pretty significant in wrestling history. WrestleMania III, of course, up until that point, the biggest WrestleMania of all time, and probably still one of the favorites among fans. But we're not going to talk about WrestleMania. We're going to talk about this beer and tie it into our favorite Christmas memories. But let's check out the beer. It's got a nice head on it. That's what she said. And it's very dark. And again, this is called, it says on here, Yearly 4 Elf Deviation. I need my glasses. Maple 4 Elf. So we'll see. I have no idea what it's going to taste like. It's a warm winter ale, or a winter warmer ale. Shall we try it?
I just hope it tastes like maple syrup.
I like it. It's got a different taste to it. I have a feeling you're not going to like it.
It's okay. I think it's better than the one I had the last time I was on the show, the Anti-Hero. This one isn't as bitter.
Yeah, the Anti-Hero was a bitter. It was an IPA for sure. This one isn't too bad. And it kind of gives you that warm feeling in your chest after you take that drink. So we'll continue to sip and chat about the beer from time to time, but kind of talk more now about Christmas and wrestling. And there is some tie-ins. Of course, probably most famously now would be the tribute to the troops that the WWE does each year. And I think started back – did it start with the Afghanistan invasion after 9/11, or did they start this after we went into – war with Iraq in 2003. I feel like it started in 03, so this would be year 15.
I believe this was the 15th anniversary show, if I remember correctly from things I saw on the internet. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't think I've watched the show in probably the last 5-6 years.
It's been a while, and they were airing it on NBC for a little bit. Now I think it's back on USA, is that right?
Yes.
I don't have cable anymore. We've talked about that before, but I have watched some of the highlights, and it seems like every year it's that feel-good show of the year, and you know everybody goes home or goes back to the barracks or wherever they're recording from because they've done it in various spots, some internationally and some back here in the States. But everyone leaves happy. Usually the good guys are standing tall after each match and at the end of the night.
Yeah, it's really not a – you know, it's a deviation from, I think, storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just something to do for the troops to give them some entertainment. So it's a good charity event put on by WWE, so I give them credit for that. But in long-term storytelling, I think if you miss it, you're not really missing anything.
Yeah. So tribute to the troops. This is year 15. Hard to believe. They do it every year, though, in December, kind of a Christmas gift to the men and women who are serving our country. Something else I wanted to bring up, kind of associated with tribute to the troops. I know he's been a big part of some of them in the past, and that is Mick Foley. I'm looking at his book here. It's Saint Mick, My Journey from Hardcore Legend to Santa's Jolly Elf.
You actually bought this for me, I think it was last year.
Yes.
After this came out, and it's autographed by Mick Foley himself. If you have not looked at the book or read the book, or even, like, I'm looking at the back cover now, and Mick Foley legitimately looks like Santa Claus. He grows his beard out. And I always like the Santas that have the real beard. And it's completely gray. And he just plays the part so well. And I know we were talking before we started recording, the documentary that Netflix, or it was on Netflix a couple Christmases ago. It's Mick Foley and then three other guys, I think, that play Santa Claus. One of them legally changed his name to Santa Claus, but it's such a great story. It's such a great documentary. I don't know if it's still on Netflix. Check it out. It just really gives you an inside look at the Foley family and kind of the motivation for Mick doing all of this. So did you have a chance to read Saint Mick, or was this just a gift for me?
I did not take the time to read it before sending it to you, but I did see Mick Foley. He did obviously a book signing, and there weren't a lot of people there, which was a good thing because the book store that was selling it was just a local bookstore. I mean, he joked when he came out about how when he was in the Rock and Sock Connection, the Rock would talk about his millions of fans, and Mick would then joke about his dozens of fans. And he said he thought it was a joke until he came out and saw that there was probably 20 people at this book signing. But there were, I think, three other guys who do Santa Claus every year, and one of them was the guy that trained Mick to be Santa.
Oh, cool.
Apparently there is Santa Claus training if you are if you're someone who is a little portly with white beard and want to be Santa Claus, you can actually go through proper training and be ordained as Santa Claus.
Well, I tell you what, if I have many more of these types of dark horse beers, I could definitely grow the gray beard.
You do have the gray hair.
Last year we learned when I did No Shave November, there was more salt than pepper in my beard, which was the first time I'd ever grown a beard. And it's something, honestly, I wouldn't mind when I'm a little older and out of the TV business. I wouldn't mind doing it. I think it's kind of a cool thing. And like I said, that documentary really shed some light on it, and really the stories that they tell from the kids, you know, the families that are impacted by visiting Santa Claus, and then the stories that those Santa Clauses tell. It's pretty cool. Now, was Foley dressed like Saint Mick at the book signing? He was just regular.
He was just regular Foley, yeah.
And it's interesting to see someone go from, I can remember, you know, late 80s world class when he was Cactus Jack Manson, and then in WCW and in Japan when the barbed wire bat matches, then of course ECW, the blood and the things he did to his body back then before he became Mankind, and then Dude Love and all the characters he did in WWE, to go from that to this fun-loving, big-hearted teddy bear Santa Claus character, basically, it's a pretty – probably one of the most bizarre parallels in the wrestling business, I think, from a man's personal life versus his on-air persona.
Well, and do you think that's partly because they let Mick become Mick instead of playing just a character – the character of Cactus Jack, they humanized him in the interviews with Jim Ross, and they made him more, I guess, relatable? Or was that just part of after Foley retired, Mick's personality coming out in the character to begin with?
Yeah, I could see that. I think probably a little bit of both. And it's interesting too, because, and I know this isn't Christmas per se, but it's Mick Foley who obviously has embraced this Christmas, the love of Christmas, and in his first book, which actually is over on my bookshelf now, I'm looking at it, you know, Have a Nice Day. He writes about his affection and love for Christmas, and he's actually visited Santa Claus, Indiana, which is just a few hours away from here in Southern Illinois. They've had him as a regular guest now, and in the Santa garb and get up. So, and Foley has, by the way, been a guest here on the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast a few years ago. My friend Chris Hagstrom hooked me up with him as Hagstrom was hosting a wrestling event up in South Bend, Indiana, and Mick was there for a signing and having some fun with that. So I was going to ask you too, for you as a fan, were you more of a Cactus Jack fan when he was on the Independence and in WCW, or were you a Mankind dude? You know, did you like the Three Faces of Foley versus what he was doing before he arrived in WWE?
I liked all of them. Obviously, I was a Cactus Jack fan at first, mm-hmm. and then when he came into WWE, it was a change in the persona. Although the Mankind persona was a little similar in the regard of not really having any regard for one's own body.
Yeah.
And then obviously when he became Dude Love, he actually came and spoke at Southern Illinois University.
Yeah, that's right.
I was
still here.
And I remember my friend Steve was the one who organized it. And Steve texted me before the show. He's like, oh, we're going to Applebee's for plug. Applebee's is not a sponsor of My 123 Cents, but they should be. He's like, we're taking Foley to Applebee's. So I called our friend Randy. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, let's go to Applebee's real quick. So we get there before Steve and Mick had gotten there. And we're sitting at one of the high tops towards the front. And they take Foley and put him in the back corner where people can't see him. And I remember I was wearing my Hurricane Helms t-shirt. and I got my back to where they were sitting. So I was just talking with Randy. And all of a sudden, I just hear this guy come up, Hurricane, what up with that? And I turn around, and it's Mick Foley.
Oh, wow.
I'm guessing Steve had said something to him or pointed me out, and he came over and said hi. And
that's awesome.
You know, was being very polite. And then the speech he did was very good, and then he signed autographs afterwards. And even at the book signing, you know, he was really cool. And I for my personal nostalgia fanboy aspect, I was in St. Louis at Raw the night Cactus Jack returned air.
Okay.
Like, it was the big angle that they had done with the Foley had been fired by the McMahon-Helmsley regime.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd been reinstated later in the night. And then when they went off the air, he got on the mic and told Hunter that he was bringing back an old friend and it was going to be Cactus Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next night on SmackDown, he comes out and takes off the Mankind gear and he's got the flannel shirt.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so that was – I've been a fan of Mick since seeing him back in WCW. I'm sure I probably caught him a little bit in WCCW.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I hope he is doing well. You know, he did put his body through a lot that mm-hmm. really didn't need to do so. But yeah, I've been a fan of Mick since the very beginning.
Yeah, and you know, the other interesting thing that I was – as you were talking, was thinking about is – and maybe it's because Vince owns – everything wrestling related these days, but it was always interesting to me that bringing in guys like whether it was Dustin Rhodes and turning him into Gold Dust or turning Cactus Jack into Mankind, but now you look and Bobby Roode is still Bobby Roode, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Matt Riddle, all those guys still have their indies or TNA names and whatnot. So it's interesting where the Foley character would have gone had he come in directly as Cactus Jack. I did like the Mankind character, and it kind of, Foley is one of those guys that can play multiple characters, even in the same night in some cases as we saw at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably the only time I didn't like the Foley character. It's just because a minor complaint, but that instance at the Rumble where he played all three characters, much like when all the announcers were in the Rumble, it just throws the believability of the Rumble off.
Sure. That makes sense. So kind of a segue from Mick Foley to one of his former tag team partners and tag team champions, Kane. And Kane, of course, I didn't know this until I started the My123Cents blog many years ago and was looking for Christmas content in the month of December. And it might have been that first year in 2010 that I was writing blogs that I came across someone known as the Christmas Creature. It was played by the character who is Kane now, Glenn Jacobs, who we now know, too, is the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee. But do you have any recollection at all of the Christmas Creature? I believe he was a USWA or Smoky Mountain guy at the time and did not last very long as the Christmas Creature.
No, I only know him. I only know about the Christmas Creature from doing research on the mm-hmm. on the internet. I do not have any tangible memory of the Christmas Creature.
Yeah, so the Christmas Creature, there might be one or two matches out there. They're on YouTube, but it's basically, imagine Kane dressed up with candy cane looking ring attire, and I think it was trimmed in green tinsel maybe. And it's interesting that companies go into the holiday season and kind of create a Christmas-like character, because you know in the long term it's not going to be around. Or, you know, I think we talked about this maybe last year on the Thanksgiving episode. You know, Gobbledygooker, for example, mm-hmm. is not going to be wrestling at WrestleMania. And I would imagine
– but he did.
That's true. He was in the Gimmick Battle Royal at WrestleMania 17. But you would not expect to see the Christmas Creature, you know, at Bash at the Beach, mm-hmm. for example. And then that kind of transitions, too, into someone else who has a history with ECW. That is Balls Mahoney, who played the character Santa Claus, who was the anti-Santa Claus. He had a black beard. He wore the red Santa pants and had a black top. He was a member of the Million Dollar Corporation. This was in December 1995. Wrestled Savio Vega, I believe, and maybe that was on pay-per-view. But beyond that, and I think he had a couple of squash matches on like Superstars or Challenge leading up to that event with Savio, but not much else from Santa Claus other than he eventually became Balls Mahoney when ECW reemerged in WWE.
Yeah, and like you just said, holiday-themed characters do not last, so I don't know what the purpose of doing anything that is intended for something more than a one-off, mm-hmm. what the purpose is.
Yeah, that's, you know, Santa Claus, another example. We'll put him in the category with the Christmas Creature and, I guess, Gobbledygooker. And were there any other, like, can you think of any other characters that were based on a holiday premise that just didn't last?
I know there is a WCW Halloween Havoc mm-hmm. where there were the creatures or yeah. something like that. Two masked guys, like... but I can't remember who was under the mask. I know they were WCW regulars.
Yeah. And they talked about that. I believe Tony Schiavone and Conrad talk about that on the – I think it was Halloween Havoc 91.
I believe so.
They talk about that. I don't remember who they faced, but you can go check out that episode. They talked about those characters. But, yeah, I'm in my mind, in my quick review of wrestling mm-hmm. Holiday-related characters – some tried to peg the bunny from Adam Rose as the Easter Bunny, but I don't really think he was an Easter Bunny gimmick
person. Yeah, I was just thinking of Colt Cabunny, mm-hmm. but I don't think he was supposed to be the Easter Bunny either. He was simply a bunny.
Yeah. Now, did Chikara ever do any holiday-themed gimmick guys?
Not that I can recall.
Okay.
No. Again, they just had Colt Cabunny, U.S. Ape.
CP Monk.
CP Monk, but... Yeah, that was...
I'm going to admit, I'm about three quarters through the old Dark Horse 4 Elf, and I'm feeling kind of jolly right now. I'm not going to lie. Right. I'm glad we ate lunch before we started this. Otherwise, this might be a really interesting episode of the podcast. So you were looking at some clips, and I don't know what all was on that list, but for me, when I think of Christmas and wrestling, another one that really stands out to me was World Class Championship Wrestling. I believe it was Mike Von Erich had just won a match, and Santa Claus comes to the ring to congratulate him, but then beats the hell out of him and pile drives him and then takes off the beard and the hat, and it's Michael Hayes. And, of mm-hmm. course, the Freebirds feud with the Von Erichs started on Christmas 1982 in a steel cage match with Kerry Von Erich and Ric Flair. The Freebirds turn on the Von Erichs, who were allies at the time, but that kind of – so that feud lasted years. But anyway, that's one that always kind of comes to my mind with a Christmas-related wrestling setup. And of course, you know, the fans are shocked as they watch this and you see Santa Claus beating up. But we've seen Santa or Christmas-related storylines. Do you have any from the list that you were kind of looking at earlier that stand out to you that brought back memories?
No, I was trying to think about this before we started recording, and I can think of Christmas moments, but there's nothing that really stands out as memorable.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most recent one was when Alberto Del Rio ran over Santa Claus. And then looking at that list,
that was Mick Foley, right?
I
feel like that was Mick.
I want to say maybe not. And then there's the time where I think they were both at Tribute to Troops,
mm-hmm.
where Steve Austin dressed up as Santa Claus and gave Vince McMahon a stunner. And then there's a time where Austin then stunnered Santa Claus.
That's right. Yeah. And actually the most, and I haven't listened to it yet, but the most recent Something to Wrestle With, they talk about that Raw. It was the Raw right before Christmas where Santa Claus does the stunner or gets the stunner from Stone Cold Steve Austin. The other one that I'm thinking of too was after Survivor Series 1992. Bret Hart had just beaten Shawn Michaels. It was Intercontinental Champion versus WWE Champion. Bret had just beaten Ric Flair. Michaels had just beaten the British Bulldog. It was really their first time meeting in that singles run that they ended up having such a historic feud with. At the end of that Survivor Series, Santa comes out and congratulates Bret, and then it starts snowing. Did you see Survivor Series 92? It starts snowing from the top, and it's a very feel-good kind of moment. And in my mind at that time, you know, it's 92. We're probably 6 to 8 years removed from when Michael Hayes did it. And in my mind, I'm like, Santa Claus is going to attack Bret Hart and then be revealed as the next big challenger. But that did not happen. Do you think, because we watched a clip earlier, too, it was Chris Jericho dressed as Santa Claus with the Big Show, which I had no recollection of this. Do you think, especially now that WWE kind of skews and targets toward the kids, does that hurt the perception of Santa Claus when you have someone dressed and then kind of turning into this evil intentions? I know Jericho ended up eventually becoming unbearded and unhaired, and I'm throwing out words now because I'm partly buzzed, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I think it depends on how you present it. And in the case of Jericho, Big Show had come out. Big Show and Jericho had just lost the tag team titles to DX and were on separate shows. Big Show was on Raw, Jericho was on SmackDown. And so Big Show brought Santa out to grant him his Christmas wish of getting his tag team partner back. Mm-hmm. Then when it's revealed to be Jericho and it's all a ruse, I would hope kids are smart enough to understand that's not the real Santa, that it was a joke. You know, it was something that played. And, you know, hopefully – I don't know how many kids are listening to this. I don't want to spoil anything, but I don't know if you go to the mall Santa, if you think that that's really Santa or if it's, you know, one of Santa's helpers.
Sure. Yeah. Santa, now, of course, is very busy this time of year.
Yeah. I don't think
sends out helpers.
Yeah. I don't think it really, as long as Santa is either Santa gets the upper hand or it's proved to be not the real Santa.
Yeah. Like
if it's someone being rude. No, I think it's all part of the show. And,
because as we mentioned with Santa Claus, you know, it was Balls Mahoney. This was before Balls Mahoney was Balls Mahoney, though.
Cajones in TNA, because they couldn't say balls.
In TNA. I thought you were talking about WCW. Okay. I didn't realize he went to – was this after the failed WWECW?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, he, you know, obviously had a history with it as well. Now, something else kind of transitioned from the in-ring – Santa and Christmas themed stuff. Although actually before we do that, I do want to mention, do you remember, I want to say it was 99. So it was the height of the Attitude Era. Goldust and Luna, and Goldust comes dressed up like a Christmas tree. And yes. Luna, I believe there was a ball gag involved. What the hell? I mean, we were talking about Dustin earlier in the car on the way here to record, and how as Dustin Rhodes, how white meat baby face, just kind of plain vanilla ice cream he was, versus Goldust, where it's so much personality and energy and whatnot. Like, how does that transition happen, do you think, where you go from me to a great wrestler, perfect in the ring, but you put that paint on and that wig and that bodysuit and you're a completely different person?
Yeah, I think that's a character aspect where you can separate then Goldust from Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever Goldust does, you can just say like, oh, look, that's a character. Whereas whatever we kind of discussed this on the Positive Cynicism episode. When you have a person playing a character with the same name as the person,
right,
it's harder to differentiate. Or you may not want to do something outrageous because you don't want to be, you know, on the person it themselves.
Perfectly stated. Now let's transition into wrestlers who have appeared in Christmas themed or Christmas related movies. I asked you before we started recording this, had you seen this movie, this movie, this movie? And I think we have seen the same ones and we haven't seen the same ones. But let me throw out one that just popped into my head too, and I quickly just looked it up here. Santa's Little Helper, which is starring The Miz, and I believe this is one of those Hallmark Christmas movies. I DVR'd it years ago and never got around to watching it. Have you seen the Santa's Little Helper movie with The Miz?
I have seen it, and if you remember at WrestleMania 29, we actually auditioned for a potential role to be in this movie.
Wow. Okay, refresh my memory, because I do remember this, but I don't remember this.
I believe it was at Access in New York, and they had a little booth set up that you could go in and read a line.
That's right.
And I just remember you were dressed as Classy Freddie Blassie. Yeah. I was dressed as the Great Grand Wizard.
Yes.
Which people doing the recording and the audition just kind of looked at it strangely.
Right.
And then they asked who we thought was going to win between The Rock and John Cena. And me being the idiotic me that I am, made the stupid comment that I think the winner will be me in my lawsuit against WWE for having the one-time-only match the second year in a row. And the lady just looked at me, obviously probably having no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
Just looked at me like, can you just go over there and read this line and then leave, please? But yes, needless to say, Kevin nor I got the walk-on role in Santa's Little Helper.
I'd forgotten about that. You've great memory, Chad.
Yeah, it's the alcohol.
Well, I was going to say the alcohol that's impeding my memory or helping yours?
Helping mine.
Okay. Yeah, I did not remember.
I couldn't tell you anything about the movie. Right. Other than it stars The Miz. But.
Well, and I guess he's also in The Christmas Bounty. So he's got a couple of Christmas movies out there, which the Christmas Bounty might be the Hallmark one that I'm thinking of.
I think I've seen that one as well, but don't remember.
Look at you. See, not having cable really hurts me, so I'll have to get on Netflix and see if anything.
Haven't you just not had cable for like 2 months?
These movies have
been out for like 3 years.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I got to stop making excuses. The other one is Santa's Sleigh, which stars Goldberg. Was this when he was in WCW still, or was he – had WCW folded? I don't remember.
I think it was after –
And we both agreed we had not seen this one.
I have not seen this one, no.
So we're going to skip judging that, and I would imagine it is what it is when it comes to Goldberg being in a movie called Santa's Sleigh.
And that's S-L-A-Y.
Yes.
Just to.
So we would imagine there's some ass-kicking and blood guts involved, I'm guessing, huh?
I would guess, and I know there's another movie you're going to bring up next, but real quick, tangent. Talking about Santa being violent, in the comic book world, do you remember when Ultimate Warrior raped Santa Claus?
Okay, you're going to have to tell this story. I do not remember this.
There's a Ultimate Warrior comic book.
I do know that,
where
yes.
he attacks Santa, or fights Santa, and the panels, if you just look at them without the text, it looks like he has got Santa bent over, and then he steals his Santa outfit, but...
Wow. Okay. So what I'm going to do is find this clip that Chad – or these panels that Chad's talking about. In the write-up on jitterymonkey.com, you will be able to go and look, and I'll put them on the My123Cents Instagram page as well. Just look for at My123Cents. Remind me of this though, Chad, because this beer is really starting to have an effect on me. I'm not going to lie. I kind of like getting a buzz feeling while doing a podcast. I'm sure you're going to be annoyed before it's all over, but – and we may be doing another podcast after this, but I don't remember that. You said you knew what was coming next. Oh, he's choking the Grinch out too. Wow. Now, how did you know about this?
Because I have seen this online. This site that I just looked up, actually it was called Ultimate Warrior Raped Christmas or something like that. So he's got Santa chained up, and then the next one is him looking post-coital.
Wow. Yeah. What the hell? This is almost comic book erotica. Oh. Gee, oh my God. What the? Okay. What the? Yes, exactly. The write-up on this is, what the F? Can somebody explain to me what in the holy name just happened? Wow. Okay. Yes, you will want to check this out. I will have it on the write-up here. And Hulk Hogan at the end with the Ultimate Warrior bent down during the test of strength. Anyway. Wow. Okay. You just brought a new element to this that I was not expecting that. So thank you for bringing that up. So
Santa cheer or Christmas cheer, holiday rape.
Yes. Yes. Ho, 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 I guess. So I guess we'll kind of start wrapping things up with the one that we have both seen, and I've seen because of you, and that is Santa with Muscles. That is the Hulk Hogan Christmas flick. And you're going to have to help me. Was this post-WWE? Was this a WCW venture for him?
This was during WCW.
Okay.
Stars a young Mila Kunis as well. So this would have been, I think, pre-70s show.
Yes.
So.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Ed Begley Jr.'s in this as the bad guy? So, yeah. Santa with Muscles. If you've seen any Hulk Hogan movie, this is your typical cheese factor. How many Hulk Hogan movies have you seen?
Counting Santa with Muscles, I believe that is 3.
Okay, what's the other two?
No Holds Barred and Suburban Commando.
Okay. I've seen...
Oh, no. 4. I did watch Three Ninjas. The one that has Strike Back, maybe? Three Ninjas Strike Back? Whichever one has Hogan in it, obviously. Hogan in it,
yeah.
And you know why he did that movie?
No.
Well, because he didn't understand the word ninjas.
Oh, come on. As Gorilla Monsoon would say, will you stop? But... Okay, you've seen Gremlins too, though. But,
oh, yeah,
but Hogan has a very, very minor part in that. So Santa with Muscles, as you mentioned, yes, it was 1996. This would have been the same year that the NWO kind of comes to fruition and whatnot. But it's – I can't remember the whole storyline about it, but Santa Claus is – is Santa Claus good in this, or is he is Hogan – he gets amnesia, right?
Yeah, and then he thinks that he is Santa Claus, and I think he's helping out like an orphanage or some charity
organization. It is an orphanage, yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, I don't remember anything beyond that, because it's been probably at least a good 4 or 5 years since I've seen this, and it's not a movie that really stuck with me.
Well, Don Stark, who also starred with Mila Kunis in Mila Kunis. Right? Mila?
Mila.
Mila Kunis in That 70s Show is also a part of this movie. And, you know, it is your typical Hogan chicanery type movie. I've only seen No Holds Barred and then Gremlins 2. I did not see Suburban Commando.
You didn't see Mr. Nanny?
I did not. What is it about Hulk? You know, and kind of a side tangent here, you know, obviously Santa with Muscles. I would definitely put it on my not watch Christmas movie list. As opposed to, and I actually wrote a blog a couple years ago after I watched Santa with Muscles, you sent me a copy of it and compared it and contrasted it with the Mick Foley. And I really need to look up the name of that movie too. It was on Netflix, but what is it about, you know, Hulk Hogan for, and I don't want to stereotype wrestlers that transition into movies, but with the exception of The Rock, and I guess John Cena is, you know, this weekend as we're recording this, Bumblebee is out. Mm-hmm. I imagine it will be a success at the box office. It will at least be better than Santa with Muscles or No Holds Barred. What do you think it is? The Rock, though, I think is probably the exception to every rule when it comes to wrestling in terms of that Hollywood crossover appeal. What is it, though, with Hogan and Jesse Ventura? Jesse had some good roles, I guess. Piper, you know, what is it about wrestlers who go into movies versus now I think The Rock is a legitimate action star, and people don't say he's a wrestler starring in movies. Now, he is a Hollywood icon.
Well, I think when you look at it, and Jesse did this the same way, Jesse took side supporting roles in Predator and The Running Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, did he do anything besides those two, or – because I wonder then after The Running Man is when he – I think shortly thereafter is when he jumped to WCW.
Yeah.
And then he got into politics. So I don't know why the acting – why he didn't stick with the acting. Although he is in Demolition Man as well.
Yeah, and he and Piper did that pilot for Body Slam, I think. It was a TV show, but it didn't go anywhere. But
yeah.
Beyond that, yeah, I think you're right.
But I think you look at The Rock's early films, and he took a lot of supporting roles as well. And the stuff that he was doing, like Scorpion King and I think even Walking Tall, were films that didn't do that well. They were like low-budget films.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at a Hogan who was, oh, I'm going to star in this, instead of being a supporting character.
Yeah.
It was the focus was on him, and I don't know if it's just, you know, a bad agent who couldn't get him good scripts, or if no one wanted to take the chance on Hogan, or – I mean, as much personality as Hogan has in a wrestling ring, it doesn't really translate into being a good actor, whereas The Rock has proven to be very versatile. And even The Miz, I think, has the versatility to play other roles. But again, he's taking on lead roles in WWE-produced films.
Right.
I don't know if he can will be able to branch out of that role, or if he is just going to be The Miz.
Yeah. And we talked earlier, by the way, Jesse Ventura was in No Holds Barred as well, doing commentary, I think, with Mean Gene. We were kind of talking about this on the way home from lunch today, too, was the fact that, you know, sometimes these wrestlers star in these movies, and then do they – will they go beyond the WWE branded films? Mm. You know, The Miz being one of them. Who do you see on the current roster? We were talking about John Cena specifically about kind of apologizing to The Rock after he made those comments. Mm. Obviously, John Cena is turning into that Rock transitioning to Hollywood. He's pretty much.
And he's doing the same thing where Trainwreck, he had like just a few scenes. I think the movie Sisters with Amy Poehler and. Tina Fey, had a small role. I think Bumblebee is probably, to my knowledge, his biggest role today. And I don't know how much of it he's actually in.
Right. He's doing a lot of promotion for it, though. I've seen him all over the place with it. Do you think – who do you see now that Cena is kind of – I would transition Cena now into a part-timer, a guest role, if you will. Who do you see on the current roster either that has had a couple of opportunities or – who could pick up that role or pick up that ball in a few years and transition from superstar to actor to action hero or whatever, man or woman, I guess, for that matter?
You know, I'd be curious to see the Marine Six and see how well Becky Lynch does. Because as we have said, right now she is, I think, the best thing going in WWE.
I agree.
Her character work is really good. So I would like to – and I know she has the quirky personality in real life. I would like to see how well she could – what range she has. But off the top of my head, the one person that comes to mind, actually two now that I think about it, would be Big E.
Really? Okay. I would not have put him in there, but
because
okay.
I think if you let him show his personality.
Yeah.
And Rusev.
Okay.
Because again,
I wasn't expecting that one either.
Again, given the basis for doing different roles within WWE, I'd like to see what they could do as themselves.
Interesting. I like it. I like The Miz a lot. I think that he is probably the most versatile guy right now on the roster when it comes to working in different – and The Miz for me has been one of those guys that I was really high on at one point and then kind of low. And then ever since WrestleMania 32, was that the one in Dallas that we went to? Since that post-Raw when he and Maurice reunited and he won the Intercontinental title from Zack Ryder, I've been high on The Miz again since those days and the whole spoof with Nikki and John with Total Bellas, and I've enjoyed what The Miz has done. So we have deviated, though, from the Christmas theme here, but peppering in some other comments and thoughts. Anything else, Chad, before we kind of wrap things up here?
Well, one that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
Let's see if you remember this because I saw it on one of the lists that I looked up.
Okay.
I didn't research it.
Okay.
I believe it was from TNT, the old Tuesday Night Titans.
Okay.
It was Roddy Piper as Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yes. I do. I you know what, and I probably should have done more homework on this, but years ago, like I said, during the month of December, back when my 123 Cents was in its infancy, I tried to do every day a Christmas wrestling crossover blog. And this is one of them. Yes, Piper does a Christmas Carol. What is the story? What is the
– Christmas Carol.
A Christmas Carol, yeah. And he has these different Ghost of Christmas Past, Ghost of Christmas Future, and Ghost of Christmas Present visit him. And God, it really, those kinds of things, I think that's, you know, we talked during the Positive Cynicism show, you know, what's missing from today's wrestling. And it's to me, it's almost that kind of fun, you know, TNT, you know, Tuesday Night Titans was a talk show style, you know, Tonight Show format where Vince McMahon is the host and he has different guests. And then they do funny little skits or vignettes or whatever. And we don't have that today. I don't think there's anything like that where you don't get to kind of see that other side of a wrestling personality.
Yeah, and I don't know how well that would go over today, mm-hmm. just because I think in today's cynical world where we have to overanalyze everything. I mean, if Twitter or social media would have been around when, you know, when TNT was on, would people have complained about the cheesiness factor of Lord Alfred Hayes or, you know, ruining a character because you showed a different personality side to them? I don't know.
So, okay, we're going to wrap things up and we're going to do a quick Ask My 1-2-3 Cents. And this is a question that I actually have when Bruce Pritchard opens it up again for the for his show when he takes viewer questions or listener questions. I want to ask you this, though, and I didn't tell you about this earlier, but since you brought up Roddy Piper. So Roddy Piper retires from WWE in 1987 mm-hmm. after WrestleMania 3. Mm-hmm. That fall, we see the emergence of the Macho Man Randy Savage. Piper arguably was the second babyface in the company right behind Hulk Hogan up until his departure. Mm-hmm. Had Piper not left, do we see a Randy Savage face turn? And the WrestleMania 4 tournament, does it end with Piper walking out as WWF heavyweight champion?
I don't think so. Because I think given the way wrestling was back then, mm-hmm. I think Piper didn't need the title. Whereas today, guys that don't need titles are given titles anyway just because we hot potato titles. Mm-hmm. I think I don't think Piper ever would have been world champion, because I don't think as good of a heel as he was, and even as good of a face as he later became, I don't think he would have been the poster boy that Vince would have wanted for the company.
That's good. That's a good answer. I like that. I like that. Thank you for answering, Chad. Of course, Positive Cynicism. He is the host of that show. Go to positivecynicism.com. We, of course, talk nostalgia on the most or the upcoming episode of that. What else do you have? You've got some things cooking for 2019. Is that right?
We've got some big plans. Hopefully, I can get motivated to get them in. I think the biggest one, I'm going to put it out here on your show mm-hmm. just because if I put it out there in the universe, then I kind of have to be held accountable for it. But the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, myself, you, and Greg Mahochko, we're hoping to make our first con convention.
Yeah.
Which I think is a redundant statement, but I guess Comic-Con appearance. And trying to get the word out about the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, trying to spread the knowledge of our shows and get kind of build our brand.
Mm-hmm, and, absolutely.
You know, again, every time I see the story about the kid testing toys on YouTube making millions of dollars, I want to know why I haven't found that success yet and what I need to do to do so. So the big thing is mostly, hopefully, a lot more continuity, and not just the weekly podcast, but in the website. You know, I would like to start up a YouTube channel, but I don't know what content to put on there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just getting the brand out there more in 2019 is the plan.
Yeah, the plan is we are on the waiting list for Cape Comic Con in April. So Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network will most likely, we've talked with Ken Murphy, who is the director of Cape Comic Con. We are on the short list to be a part of that event. So looking forward to that. Maybe the Skullbusters will head down to Cape Comic Con that weekend. They've talked some stuff on their podcast recently. By the way, before we wrap things up completely, Dark Horse, this 4 Elf Winter Warmer Ale, Dave Meltzer likes to give things 5 stars. What kind of star rating would you give a Dark Horse 4 Elf Winter Ale?
You know, I think when you're talking beer, instead of a star rating, maybe a urinal rating. You know, how much is this going to pass through my system? Or how quickly do I want this to pass through my system? No, I enjoyed this beer. I am not a huge beer drinker. I'm more of a mixed drink or hard liquor person. But I have enjoyed this. I would probably give this 4 urinals.
All right. I would also concur and give it a 4 urinal rating. That 8.75 ABV, though, be careful because it'll get you quick. But thanks again, Chad, for being a part of the show. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to everyone listening, too. Thanks so much for being a part of My 1-2-3 Cents, and we'll see you again, or you'll hear us again, next week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. for more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.